tough loss. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep grinding at Brooklyn Nets. Hashtag stay positive. Hashtag Brooklyn grit. Hashtag Team Carroll.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. And today's Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast is also brought to you by Draft.com. Use the promo code LOFANTASY to get yourself a free entry into a draft with your first deposit. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. We're going to recap all of Tuesday's action. We're going to preview Wednesday's games, and there are 10 of them on Wednesday, so
let's get to it.
We're going to talk about the Anthony Davis injury, of course, and everything else that that happened, the standard awards of the night, the recap, all that sort of stuff that you know and, I guess, marginally tolerate. We'll be going through all that in the podcast, so we'll let's get stuck straight into it. No point mucking around. The monstrous line of the night goes to
LeBron James.
Thank you, kid. He was the monstrous line of the night. 34 points for LeBron. 4 triples, 2 rebounds, 13 assists as he started at point guard. They moved Jose Calderon back to the bench. In fact, Calderon wasn't even a part of the rotation. Dwayne Wade went to the bench and Tristan Thompson came back into the starting lineup. So everyone shifted down. LeBron became the point guard and just put up a lazy 34, 2 and 13. He had 3 steals. He was 13 of 20 from the field and 4 of 5 from the free throw line. He's currently the number 2 ranked player this season in fantasy. A lot of people steered clear of LeBron. I'm worried about rests. The free throw percentage is going to kill me. He's at 88% from the line this season. He's 67% last year. Like, he's never been a great free throw shooter, but he's 67% last year. Felt like a really weird anomaly. I was all for drafting him. You know, no problem with grabbing him at pick 9 or pick 10. It's worked out so far. We'll see how it ends up going in terms of resting and all that sort of stuff, which, again, I think it's a little bit overblown when people talk about that with LeBron. I feel like everyone misses a similar amount of games. He played 74 games last year. Yeah, he did miss some games down the stretch, including the final 2 games of the year. But he missed 2 games in March and 1 game in February. It's not like he was a total killer and just missing games left, right, and center or all over the place. And both of those games that he missed in March were the second half of a back-to-back, one part of a back-to-back, and maybe that won't be as much of an issue this season with the back-to-backs being reduced in the NBA. So LeBron off to another red-hot start in his, 75th NBA campaign, where everything appears to be always the same for LeBron. Nothing ever changes, and his numbers are always they're always awesome. A really weird thing with this guy, where everything is just, he just never gets worse, which is weird. And I've said weird too many times. Now it's time for me to talk about a new sponsor to the podcast. Actually, not a new, a returning sponsor to the podcast, and that is the guys over at Draft.com. Draft.com. All you fantasy basketball fans, you guys need to listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite fantasy, daily fantasy app, and that is Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but it's not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season long leagues. No salary cap to deal with, no issues with people throwing in multiple lineups and multiple combinations. It's a snake draft, so only one team in each little contest can have that player on there. We are Draft is sponsoring the entire Locked On Podcast Network. So when you sign up with my promo code, which I'll mention later, you will see an exclusive contest in the lobby where you can play against other Locked On hosts and other listeners to Locked On Podcast. It'll be called, I think, the Locked On Contest. So you can get in there and be a part of that. Draft, it's a draft. It lasts for just the one night. So daily fantasy, but daily fantasy snake draft. There's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. There are drafts starting every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part, you get to play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps. So you play in a real live snake draft, just like you play with your friends in your season-long leagues. Come and join in on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on Draft.com. whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code, which is LOFANTASY. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using my promo code LOFANTASY on your first deposit on draft, and you will see those Locked On leagues and Locked On contests appear. I think they're just doing four-man Locked On contests at the moment. They will constantly refresh as soon as they fill, and they'll be exclusive to people who are listeners to the Locked On Podcast Network. So make sure you are checking out Draft. It was great to have them on board last season as a sponsor. They are back again. This is part of Draft Wednesdays across the Locked On Podcast NBA channel, and all the shows are going to be doing that. All the hosts are going to be involved as well. So make sure you are checking out Draft, a different way to play daily fantasy sports. Now we move on to the waiver wire line of the night. And it is Corey Joseph of the Indiana Pacers. Now, Joseph had 21 points, which included 5 triples. He had 5 boards, 2 assists, and 3 steals, and he was a blistering 8 of 11 from the field. Joseph is a sneaky top 100 player so far this year, averaging 12 points, including 1.5 triples, 1.8 steals, and shooting a blistering 47% from the field. That does include 75% from 3, so I'm going to tip that that comes down a little bit. As for Joseph's value in 12-team leagues, I'm not here for it. I think he was an interesting guy to stream in today's action with only six games on. But otherwise, we know that shooting, especially from three, is not going to hold up. So he's not been a three-point shooter before. Last season, he hit 0.6 triples in 25 minutes. The season before, 0.4 triples on low attempts. Now, he's taking a very similar amount of attempts to what he took last season, which was 1.7 last season. He's at 2 this season. The problem is he's gone from 36 to 75%, and we know that is going to come crashing back down. Interesting streaming guy. Interesting guy if Darren Collison, who is absolutely killing it at the moment, if he gets hurt. But Collison's got that starting point guard job. There is no doubt about that. Victor Oladipo has got the starting shooting guard job. There's no doubt about that. We're seeing Joseph play a similar role to what he did last season, but it's not really fantasy worthy unless one of those guys happens to go down. That's my opinion anyway. The young gun of the night, we're heading to Boston, and it's going to be one of the two young guys. If you're listening to this on audio, you don't know. On video, you can see the picture up on the screen. It is, in fact, Jason Tatum, who is the young gun of the night. He had 22 points, which included 4 triples, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and he added 4 steals and 2 blocks, and was remarkably efficient, going 9 of 15 from the field. Amazingly, Tatum is the 44th ranked player this season, averaging 15 and 8 with 1.3 triples. In fact, he's averaging a triple 1.3. 1.3 triples, 1.3 steals, 1.3 blocks, 48 from the field, 82 from the line. It goes without saying that he needs to be owned everywhere. Yes, Marcus Morris returning will have an impact on Tatum, but I don't care. Tatum's already better than Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris is really just a potato out there most of the time. He will get some of those minutes, but he'll cut into Baines' time. He'll cut into Ogilvy's time, Daniel Tice's time, Abdul Nader's time. Tatum is going to get 30 minutes. I've got no doubt about that. Even when Marcus Morris returns, I think that you'll find Tatum will remain in the starting lineup. They'll go with Irving, Brown, Tatum, Morris potentially there, and then Smart coming off and getting his 30 minutes. Maybe he won't play 34 a night, but he's definitely playing over 30, and he is almost a lock to be a top 100 player this season. This rookie class is as good as advertised. Throw in Ben Simmons into there, and they're all putting up really good numbers, but I think it's a shock to see Tatum here as a top 50 guy to start the season, especially those peripheral numbers, the big rebounding and the big steals and block numbers, which I imagine will come down a little bit, especially the blocks, but he is putting up some really, really impressive numbers, and Boston fans have got to be absolutely ecstatic that he is getting, well, they're not ecstatic that he's getting the run, they're ecstatic that he's putting in the minutes and putting in the production in that extra playing time that's been opened up by Gordon Hayward's injury. The dud of the night, this guy was a hero a couple of days ago, he is the dud today, and that is Wigo. Andrew Wiggins was not ideal for the Wolves against the Pacers. 7 points with 4 rebounds and 2 assists. He had 1 steal. He was 3 of 9 from the field, and he got to the line, so that's good. The problem is he hit just 1 of his 6 free throws, which absolutely torpedoed that category. Just a real, real turd of a stinker from Wigo. He currently is the 191st ranked player this season, and that's despite the fact that he is averaging 20 points per game. It's the fact that he's going 52% from the line on 7 attempts, which is DeAndre Jordan territory. I was going to say it's Andre Drummond territory, but Drummond is significantly better than Andrew Wiggins in free throws this season. That is really, really punting your free throw category. It won't remain like that. He will get better, and he could be a buy low guy, but he's not a top 50 player, I don't believe. He needs to really bring those other numbers the rebounds and assists, which we saw him do against the Thunder. He needs to bring that on a regular basis. But currently this season, 1.8 assists, 5 rebounds, 0.8 steals, no blocks. Like, nothing there looks fantastic. He's upped his threes, and his field goal percentage is strong, but that free throw is really, really impacting. It's probably costing him 80 ranking spots, to be honest. If that was up at 75, 76%, he'd be much higher. But he still is the dud of the night based on that absolutely disgusting performance that he put up in that game against the Pacers. In fact, in his four games, he has gotten over 63% from the line just once. 17% in today's game, 63% against the Thunder. Against the Jazz, he went 5 of 6 for 83%. And in the opener against the Spurs, he was 4 of 9. So he is way, way off on his free throws, and the volume is really, really killing you at the moment. But again, that will change at some point. I don't think we need to be overly concerned about Wigo being a punt free throw guy for the rest of the season or anything along those lines. Let's move in and talk about these games now in some extra detail. The Brooklyn Nets and the Orlando Magic. The Magic get the victory 125-121. The Nets and the Magic, they're super fun to watch. I love watching the Nets play. It feels like a dumb thing to say, but when you watch them, they are flying around. They're active defensively. They're bombing threes. They're just fun. There's just fun guys on this team, and it is a weird thing to say, but they are really interesting to watch. So are the Orlando Magic. Let's start with Brooklyn. D'Angelo Russell was on fire. I think he had 3 triples in about the first 5 minutes. Ended with 29 points, 4 triples, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. Now, you hate the 1 assist. You hate the 38% on 24 shots, but he's been fantastic this season, and he's probably looking at a comfortable top 50 finish, especially with Jeremy Lin out. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson bounced back from a poor performance the other night, 18-5 with a steal and a block. But we're seeing this again from Kenny Atkinson, is that he's running 11 guys out there and no one's playing over 30 minutes. But the thing is, they're playing at such an elevated pace that 29 minutes is probably equivalent to 39 or 32 minutes in a regularly paced team, where I think their pace is about 112 or 113 possessions per game, which is through the roof. So these guys who are playing 24, 25, 27 minutes, they're like 30-minute performers. So Rondae should be owned. Damari Carroll, who is a completely different player now, he had 17-6 with 2 triples, a steal, and a block. Yeah, massive numbers from Damari. He's locked in as a starter. He's getting 27 a night, and he's a top 50 guy at the moment, or close enough to it. He should be owned. Caris LeVert, my boy, 27 minutes and another start, 15-8-5. This guy is really, really good. I invested in him in the Red Rock Dynasty League last year, and wasn't expecting anything from him last season. Really coming on now. Super impressed with him. His ability to pass. He's going to fit into a Jeremy Lin, Russell sort of a role as that secondary ball handler. He should be owned everywhere, and he's owned currently in 32% of Yahoo leagues. The Blue Swimmer, it wasn't his greatest night. Just the 6 points with 3 rebounds and 2 assists in 26 minutes. He was just 2 of 11 from the field. It's part of the reason why I don't love him as a fantasy guy, and I would prioritize LeVert over Crabb. I would prioritize Carroll over Crabb, and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is similar. But I think you can own all of these guys: Russell, Carroll, Hollis-Jefferson, LeVert, and Crabb. All of those guys can be owned in standard leagues. Unsurprisingly, the Trevor Booker double-double streak ended. 24 minutes for Booker, 7-8. While he's fine to own, he was never going to continue at a 20-10 pace, and he's really a back-end sort of guy. I am really interested in seeing what Jarrett Allen is doing. He played 15 minutes here. He's in the rotation, so he's got a rotation role every night, and it feels like maybe a month, 6 weeks away before he's getting 20 a night, and he's a very, very good source of blocks as a streaming option. Not much else to really report on the Nets. The 11th man in the rotation replacing Jeremy Lin is Joe Harris. Not really sure why we're getting all these minutes from Jinglin' Joe, the other Jinglin' Joe. But it is what's happening, and it is a little bit frustrating, because if these guys were playing 32 a night, we're talking about a whole bunch of players who could potentially be top 50. Yeah, Karras, Carroll, Rondae. All those guys could be top 50 guys in the 30 minutes. The problem, they're just getting 27, but it makes them comfortable. They're pretty comfortable top 100, top 120 sort of players. On the Magic side of things, Big As Gordon was amazing. 41-14 for Aaron, 5 triples, 2 assists. He was 10 of 18. He wasn't. He was 14 of 18 from the field. He hit those 5 triples. He is a top 15 player at the moment. Looks like it's going to be a comfortable top 50 season from Gordon. He did all this, didn't even have any steals and blocks, which can be a little bit of a downfall in his game, but he's crushing it. He's never going to be 78% field goal guy, but the fact that he's going at 80% from the line, 10 attempts in this one, that's really impressive and helps his value a lot you're crushing it at the moment. And I heard of leagues where he was dropped after he's hurt his ankle. These guys mustn't be listening to this podcast. Evan Fournier is back to his 15-16 form, 28-6 with 3 steals and 2 triples. He should be owned, clearly. And DJ Augustine, while I did send out a tweet last night saying that someone told me that they were able to get Tim Hardaway Jr. in exchange for DJ Augustine, it might seem like, based on what they're doing, Augustine's providing value. But once Lord Alfred returns, then that's gonna dip. But Augustine should be owned now. 19 points, 6 assists, and 3 steals. It just won't last all that long. Some of his dribbling was just maddening. He was just dribbling in circles and running around trying to dodge people who weren't actually making moves at him. He was losing the handle, but he still put up those numbers, and he's going to do that until Lord Alfred returns. Terry Ross was piss poor, really. 0 points, a steal and a block in 25 minutes. Not a must-own 12-teamer. While John Simmons had 12 and 3 in his 23 minutes. It wasn't like he was able to fully capitalize on Ross's absence, but he did start to creep up. Both of those guys aren't must-own 12-teamers, nor is John Isaac anymore, who played 14 minutes with the return of Gordon, because Frank Vogel said he needed to see Mario Hezonja continue to get minutes. Now, Hezonja played 7 minutes and had 1 assist, but that did cut into Isaac's time. Still really love Isaac from a dynasty point of view, as you're well aware. The Chicago Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not planning to play the sound drop here because the Bulls were actually entertaining in this game. They had a big lead over the Cavs for most of the game, and that's fine. Be competitive, develop your younger guys, put up some interesting performances and lose. That's really all it's about for Chicago. A weird report came out today, completely unverified, so take this for what it's worth. But I saw it today saying that Nikola Mirotic, the team can't get in contact with him, and he's potentially not returning to the team based on the way they handled the Bobby Porter situation. I don't know how much truth is in that, but regardless, but Nick Mirotic, for as much as I love him, he is not getting this starting power forward job back. Bob Portis is not getting this starting job off Lauri Markkanen. Lauri Markkanen's got it, and he is going to continue playing these minutes. I have it's Fred Hoiberg, so I have some doubt, but I have very, very limited doubt that that's going to be the case. So Mirotic, if you've got him in a 12-team league, just get rid of him. Yeah, move someone else into IR. 14-team league, maybe for Mirotic. Portis, he wasn't even going to be in the rotation opening night. I can almost with assurance tell you that. He wasn't going to be in the rotation. So while he will get some backup minutes when he comes back from his suspension before Mirotic comes back, he's not cutting into Markkanen's playing time. Lowry was fantastic, 19-8 with 5 triples and a block. Really efficient shooting as well. Don't get into the trap of thinking that he's Kristaps Porzingis, because he's not the shot blocker. He doesn't get steals. Not that Porzingis is a big steal guy, but he's not a big shot blocker. But he's scoring, he's hitting threes, he's getting rebounds, which is something I thought he might struggle with a little bit, but he has been a breath of fresh air and has been much better than I anticipated him being. Justin Holiday just shoots whenever he wants, and that's fine. 25-4 with 4 triples, a steal and a block. Clearly a must-own guy. 37 minutes for Holiday. But when Zach LaVine does eventually return, that will cut into what Holiday can do. And Jaren Grant, does he hold on to the starting point guard job? 32 minutes for Jaren. 12-6-10. He's looked competent. He's looked better than competent a lot of the time out there. Chris Dunn is probably going to return in the next game, and you've got Kay Felder, who also provided a little bit of a spark in this game. But Grant should be owned. I would own him over Dunn pretty comfortably. Dunn might come in, and it might be a 24-24 minute split. Hoiberg might alternate them based on what he's done in the past, but Grant has acquitted himself quite well, and he is a 12-team league guy at this point. Robin Lopez had 11-3-3, while Paulie Zipser continued to start, and 11-7-4 looks okay. There's no upside in him. He's a 14, probably more 16-team league guy, while Kay Felder had 13 points in 16 minutes in his revenge game. He did clearly drop off in the second half, though, and he very well could be out of the rotation once Dunn returns. Denzel Valentine only played 17 minutes, did have 13 points with 4 rebounds and 3 threes, but the Bulls just seem to refuse to use him in any sort of a playmaking role, any sort of a passing role, which is just baffling to me, considering that's really what he excels at, and it can hide some of his deficiencies in athleticism, but they refuse to do that. He's still putting up okay numbers that makes him a deeper league streamer type of a player. On to the Cavs. I talked about their lineup changes already. It still continues to really confound me why they just keep limiting Kevin Love. Now, he had a big night, 20-12, 3 triples, but played only 29 minutes. I don't understand the idea of just playing him so few minutes, especially when you're getting Jeff Green out there for 24 minutes.
My name is Jeff.
Not that they're 100% playing the same position, but Yeah, Love needs to be playing more than that. Dwayne Wade moved to the bench and played 19 minutes. Now, Ty Lue said it was a function of it being a back-to-back, but Wade is not a 12-team league player, in my opinion. Now, 11-3-4 with a steal and a block on 71% shooting is a good night from Wade. But it's the first sign of anything we've seen from him that makes me think, yeah, you know what? Wade is a must-hold guy. Jay Crowder struggled again, 11-2, no other stats, 31 minutes. He was always going to be overdrafted this year based on ADP. It was way too high. This was my concern going to a team like the Cavs. The minutes a little bit crunched down, his performance not there. I would still hold, but he's probably your worst or second worst player on your roster. And when you get to that sort of situation, you do have to reconsider whether he is a guy to hold. He's not the player from last season. We need to get that out of our heads. J.R. Smith had 3 points in 32 minutes. I don't care if he starts. He's not a standard league guy, nor is Tristan Thompson, who moved back into that starting lineup. The New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics. Enes Kanter was a monster. 30 minutes, 16 points, 19 rebounds, and a block. Talk about him all the time. If the minutes are there, he can put up big numbers, and I don't feel like there's any way that he's losing this starting job. He won't play 30 minutes a night every night. He won't get 19 boards because he's not going up against the Celtics every night. But his ability to go out there and double-double with good percentages is really, really useful, and he should probably be owned, at least in roto leagues, in all 12 teams. Now, there was an interesting change here from Hornacek. Didn't take him long. Kylo Quinn only 6 minutes, while Bill Hernan Gomez played 11, had 12 points with 2 steals in that time, and I reckon that might be the switch. I reckon you might see Willie into that backup center role in the next game. Now, it's not going to mean that much because Kanter's still going to get 23 to 26 minutes as the starter, and Bill is going to be limited, and Kristaps is going to play some center as well. So, not rushing to go grab Will, but if you did have him, I think you're going to see him start to play a role now. Courtney Lee had 13 points in 35 minutes and roasted the team in the post game, saying that many players don't know any of the plays. He was, I think he did the Dumb and Dumber tweet last season. He does not want to be in New York, and really, why can you blame him? Ramon Sessions, 8 points with 7 assists and 3 steals. We had 3 point guards used in the first quarter in this one, and that's not even including Frank Ntilikina, who was out with that ankle problem. Sessions can be a streamer for assists, but that's probably about it. Doug McDirt continues to do not much. Mick Beasley had 6 points in 14 minutes, nowhere near even a 14-team league guy. While Porzingis, it wasn't his best night.
Porzingis.
He had 12 points in 32 minutes. Actually took him a fair bit to actually get to that. 3 of 14 from the field, 5 rebounds, no other numbers. Just a horrendous, horrendous performance from Porzingis. I wouldn't be too concerned. There will be some of these nights where the shots don't go. It was not ideal. Tim Hardaway Jr. was equally not ideal. 6 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist. He shot 2 of 11 from the field and 2 of 4 from the line. He has been an absolute dumpster fire this season. And, you know, I'm copying criticism about him and about his projection and about what to do and all that sort of stuff. And I will say this now. There is 100% chance that he will... Let's rephrase it. There is zero chance, I will guarantee this, that he shoots 24% from the field this season. He will not shoot 24% from this, which is what he is currently doing. He will not do that. I can guarantee you. He will not go through the season without a single steal. That won't happen. He won't go through the season with, you know, 1 assist per game or 1 rebound per game, which is what he's currently doing. He won't go through the season averaging 9 points per game because he won't shoot 24%. This happened last season. Robert Covington was terrible, shoot like 18% for about 2 months, and then ended up as a 39% shooter and was red hot down the stretch. Hardaway only played the 28 minutes here, so the minutes were a little bit down, but who else is getting these minutes here? And Damian Dotson got 5 minutes of garbage time here, which probably would have gone to Hardaway in a closer game. He will not continue to shoot this poorly. I can 100% guarantee you he will not shoot this poorly. It won't happen. He will get a steal at some point. He will get a rebound. He will get an assist. Your points are the hardest category to find on the waiver wire. You can find a guy that gets 8 points, that gets 10 points, but to get a guy that can get 17 points, 18 points, 20 points, 25 points, it's impossible to do generally. So if he gets dropped, I am looking to add him. Because I know there is no chance that this can continue. There is none. No chance. None whatsoever. He cannot be this bad at shooting. If he, there is no NBA player that's a 24% shooter. None whatsoever. The worst NBA player is a better than 24% shooter. This is a 3-game, and it might go to 5 games. It might go to 7 games. It is a cold streak. It is a terrible cold streak, and it's affecting his confidence in other areas. But he'll be better. can assure you. He won't be the 350th ranked player, which is what he currently is. He will be better. Can, again, 100% guarantee that he will not shoot this poorly. So I am holding. You might not. You might say, no, I'm done. Three games. Done. Finished. He's shit. Yeah, he is shit. He's not a good player. He's not worth that contract. But look at it with common sense and go, there is no way that he will shoot this poorly. There's none. It cannot continue. It cannot. And you cannot just get none of these numbers, none of these rebounds. You can't go through an entire season without getting any steals or blocks. It's just not a possibility. You can't do any of those things. It's just not normal. It's impossible. But that's enough on Timmy Hardaway. On to the Celtics, Jaylen Brown. Big night from Jaylen. 23-4, 3 triples, no assists, but a steal and a block. Really good efficiency. But like Wiggins, his free throw percentage has been not ideal throughout the season. Only 67% on his 2 of 3 attempts here. That's really bringing his ranking down. He should be owned everywhere, but he is, like, we talk about Tatum, he's a top 50 guy. Like, Jaylen is a guy that's, I think, 113th on the season. Like, he's not. For all the numbers that look good, yeah, the peripherals are down for him. He looks fine. The minutes are fine. Marcus Smart will take a little bit off him when he comes back, but it's his free throws that are a concern. His low assists are also keeping his ranking down. Al Horford had a double-double, 13-13 with 5 assists. You don't get 13 boards out of Al Horford all that often, while Kyrie had 20 points, 7 assists, and it was 30 minutes. Now, it's not the greatest Kyrie game, but I am pleased to see him getting to the line. He had his 9 free throw attempts, hit all 9 of them, and that's something I thought would really step up this season. It hadn't until this game, so hopefully that's a sign of things to come. Terry Rozier, 8-6-6 with a pair of steals and a pair of threes in his 31 minutes, but he's going to go to a 24-25-minute-a-game guy when Marcus Smart returns, and that could even drop a little bit lower when Marcus Morris returns. So while he is having some value, I'm not sure it's going to continue long term. Bainesy got the start, 3-4 with a steal and a block, but Daniel Tice, the more impressive big man, 11-5 in 21 minutes for Tice. He had 2 blocks in that time. Just keep an eye on him for deeper leagues and see how that pans out. The Indiana Pacers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Vic Oladipo was limited once again by foul trouble, but in 28 minutes, he still scored 28 points. He had 2 steals. He had 2 triples. He had 3 assists. The bounce back from him is real. This is what we expected from him, you know, heading to Oklahoma City last year. I thought he was used poorly. I thought the Russell Westbrook hogfest was not ideal for him. Clearly it wasn't, but he is really taking to this new role in Indiana. Daz Collison, Big Darren, 34 minutes, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 16 assists and 2 steals. A real steal late in the draft, putting up numbers, which I don't think he can continue, but he's had top 50 type seasons before, so a top 70 season is not out of the realms of possibility. With Miles Turner sidelined, Domantas Sabonis got another start, and he was good again, 15-11-5, and he looks 10 times better than what he did last season. With, you know, Thaddeus Young potentially getting traded, nothing guaranteed, but potentially getting traded, Sabonis is a guy that could slot into that backup power forward role. He's a backup at the moment, but he could slide into the starting power forward role, play some backup center, and be a valuable 12-team guy. So he's a guy to pay attention to. For now, he has that value while Turner is out. Bojan Bogdanović, 19 points. He got really hot. He does nothing else, of course. No steals, no blocks, never does anything. I think it's been about 3 years since he's had a steal or a block. I exaggerate, but he's piss poor at those. He was 75% on 9 of 12 shooting, which is something that clearly cannot continue. Fine as a streamer, but that's about it. Well, I'm really liking what TJ Leaf's doing. He's in the rotation. He had 11 points in 19 minutes, but that is just a deeper league sort of situation. If you added Lance Stephenson in 12s, get rid of him. He's just been terrible this season. It turns out that maybe that 10-game sample we saw from him last season where people thought, oh, it must be Indiana. He's really good in Indiana. Maybe he's just shit, and he has been shit for 4 years, and it was just one half a season mirage that we saw when people were literally calling for him to be an all-star. That is the thing that's maybe that's the standout or the odd man out rather than his other 5 years or 6 years of shitness. He can go in most formats. For the Wolves, Karl Anthony Towns, 28-7. He had a pair of blocks. His efficiency was through the roof, 71% from the field, 100 from the line. Good numbers there. Jim Butler was a late scratch here due to an illness. You know, once again, NBA Lineup rules are a joke. They need to be changed. I know it pisses off a lot of DFS people, and a lot of people lost a lot of money because they had Jim Butler in their lineups today, and there was not even a whisper of him being sick at all. And we're talking, I think, maybe 15 minutes before this game tipped that he was ruled out. That's really annoying. Not even a mention of it. That sort of stuff does need to change. I'm not sure that it ever will. With Butler out, Shabazz Muhammad started. 31 minutes for Shabazz. 14 points, 2 rebounds, and not much else. A typical Muhammad special. If Butler is out of the next game, you can expect another similar performance from Shabazz. This was a blowout loss to the Wolves. So we saw Marcus George-Hunt get in, Kyle Aldridge. We saw Aaron Brooks get some playing time. We also saw, with Butler out, Jamal Crawford have 18 points with 4 triples and 9 assists and 2 steals. Leave him for a streamer. Leave him for deeper leagues. Gorgui Dieng, he's done. I know people are still holding him. I've got no idea why. 13 minutes for Dieng, 6-5. I know how good he can be, but he also needs minutes. So unless you're banking on a Taj Gibson injury, now even in this one, Gibson played just 22 minutes. But you know who got the minutes? Bielitsa. He played 26 and had 18, 1 and 2 with 4 triples, a steal and a block. So even when Gibson only played the 22, it wasn't Dieng being the beneficiary. Dieng is basically playing as a backup center, and that's really it. So unless you want to hold on to him in case Taj gets injured, you might as well hold on to TJ Leaf in case Thaddeus Young gets injured. Just in case, because he might come in. That might happen. You might want to hold on to Shane Larkin just in case Kyrie Irving gets injured. I think that's the situation we're at with Gorgui. I just don't see Tibbs making a change. Probably wrong. Gorgui, you're back to 34 a night. I just don't see it happening. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being too hasty, but I'm he's done. I was really weary with him, really hesitant. I thought he should have started over Taj. I think he's better than Taj. But once we saw that Gibson was starting in preseason, that's it. Move on. He's done. Jeff Teague wasn't good.
My name is Jeff.
2-2-7 with 2 steals. This was, I guess, some of my concern with him heading to Minnesota. I think I only ended up drafting him in one league at about pick 65 because I needed a point guard, but I thought he was getting overdrafted significantly with people expecting him to put up similar numbers to what he did in Indiana. He's had some good games. He's been fine, but I don't think he's going to be able to continue at that level. I think he might end up being a disappointment to a lot of people this season. The New Orleans Pelicans, let's start with the big one. Anthony Davis lasted 5 minutes before getting hurt. He apparently tweaked his knee in pregame warm-ups and then was clear to go on and play. And then 5 minutes into the game, tweaked it again and left. I'm not going to make too many comments about the Pelicans medical staff, but this shit just seems to continually happen to Pelicans players and to Anthony Davis. And of course, the tough guy responses were all over the place on Twitter. I think he hurt his vagina. Out 4 to 6 weeks to heal up his flaps. Like, good on you, man. Like, you're a real tough guy. Real, real tough guy. Look, the guy twisted his knee. Now, some people are just more injury prone than others. I've said it plenty of times. Some people have different pain tolerances. It's got nothing to do with being soft or being, I'm a hard man and I'm going to kick your ass because I'm a man and I've got balls and yeah, man, I've got a dick and I'm a hard man. Like, it's got nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing to do with it. And it does bother me quite a bit. I understand he gets hurt. There's awkwardness. There's whatever. But the majority of the time, he's fine. The reports coming from Woj and from Shams, who's just tweeted this as we're recording, is that he's going to be day-to-day. So he might miss one game, maybe. Maybe misses a game out on Thursday. They play against the Kings, I believe it is, in the Boogie return, which look for a 60-50 game for Boogie against the Kings. But he's escaped any serious damage. I know it's frustrating. It's frustrating for DFS people. It is really frustrating for him in any sort of cash game situation. I know that, but he's going to be okay, which is obviously good news for Davis, for Pelicans fans, for fantasy people, for any of that. It's annoying. I know that. Jameer Nelson played 31 minutes, 10-2-2. He is apparently going to move into the starting lineup until Rondo comes back. Probably a better player than Rondo at this point. So he has marginal value, more 14-team league than anything. And I have to talk about Boogie, who was a monster. 39-13, a steal, 3 blocks. I drafted Boogie in a few leagues this year, and I have been really impressed. Now, his free throws weren't ideal here. He went 12 of 17, and that's 71%. You go, that's not too bad, Josh, but on 17 attempts, it's a real torpedo to that category. Etuan Moore, 8-2-2 with a pair of steals, a pair of triples. Moore, a streamer, along with Ian Clark, who had 9-7, while Drew had 14-5-7 and the triple one. The shooting's still not there for him, but the numbers are still good. The minutes are fine. If you can buy really low on Drew, I would do it, and you might be able to because people get frustrated with him pretty quickly. My boy Sheck Diallo checked in when Davis, pun unintended, when Davis went down. 13 minutes for Sheck. He had 4 fouls in that time, 3-4. Maybe you can stream him in on Thursday against the Kings and get some value there. But in the second half, Tone Allen started. Dante Cunningham shifted to the 4, and they went really, really small. So that's something to pay attention to, and I don't expect Diallo is going to be playing 30 minutes in that game, even if Davis misses. As for Cunningham, he's not worth a stream, nor is Tone Allen, who struggled in his own right. For Portland, CJ McCollum, 23-4-2, a strong night there. Damian Lillard was piss poor with his shooting, especially 3 of 16 from the field. He didn't score his first points and or his first field goal until the third quarter. Had 13-5-7, so overall the other numbers were okay, but even poor from the line, 6 of 9 from the free throw line. So some really deleterious effects on your percentages there from Lillard. Jusuf Nurkić was limited by fouls, and that happens quite often when you go up against Boog. 12-7 in his 20 minutes, he'll be fine moving forward. Well, Ed Davis took that advantage, I guess, with Nurk out. He moved in and played 21 minutes, 12-10 with a block, and Caleb Swanigan also got some extra playing time, 5-8 in 16 minutes. Nothing really to see with those guys outside of deeper formats. Mo Harkless, I don't believe that he is a standard league guy, 4-6 with a steal and 2 blocks. The minutes were only at 23. Yeah, he can give you steals and blocks, and that can be nice and that can be useful, but he's just not doing enough in other areas to justify him being held. While Evan Turner had a triple one and had 13-7-4 to go along with that, and he is a guy that I would have over Harkless in 12-team leagues. The last game of the night was the Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Clippers. Big win for the Clippers here in this one. There was no Rocket Rodney Hood out with his calf issue. Joe Ingles was dealing with a Rocket special in that he was shitting his pants, but he was fine to go. He hadn't been able to eat for 24 hours. Joe only played the 18 minutes there, and the Jazz do have a back-to-back, so they play again on Wednesday. So I'd imagine Ingles will be limited in that one as well. Gobert had 12-7 with 3 blocks. He was 100% from the field, so a nice night from him. While ravishing Rick Rubio wasn't the greatest night there, but when you have Pat Beverley on you, it does restrict you. 10-5-5 in 31 for Rick. Tabo Sefolosha with a weird double-double off the bench, 11-12. He got those extra minutes with Jingling limited, while Alec Burks was poor, to say the least. The best game of Don Mitchell's career, 30 minutes for Mitchell. 19 points, 3 triples, took 20 shots without Rocket in there, hit only 7 of them. So once again, field goal percentage, a real problem with him, and not much else in the other numbers. I wouldn't be holding him in 12-team leagues. And Epe Udo continues to be impactful. 4 blocks in his 17 minutes. He's getting a constant role. He's really impactful out there. And he's an interesting stream guy when you're talking about the blocks category. On to the Clippers. Pat Beverley played 42 minutes without Milos Teodosic. 19-4-5. 3 steals, 4 triples, 1 block. Absolutely a must-own guy. Weirdly, not even 90% owned on Yahoo, which needs to change. While Blakey Griffin had 22-9-6. DeAndre had 11-18, and the Rooster had 14-6-3. And people have been disappointed with what Gallinari has been doing. But before this game, he was shooting 18% on his two-pointers, and his free throw rate was about 25% what it had been previously. So when those things start to come back up, and he got to the line 4 times here, hit all 4 of them, and was actually 46% from the field, and didn't hit any 3. So all those numbers started to come back up, and his production will normalize. Austin Rivers had 16 points in his 35 minutes, so the minutes were there. Didn't do much else in the other categories, so he's more a 14-team league guy than anything. And Lou Williams, a weird only 19 minutes for Lou, as Rivers and Beverly got nearly all of those backcourt minutes. 9-2-4 for Lou. Apart from the fact that I drafted Williams in a couple of leagues, I don't really care that they're going to limit his minutes. I would much rather see Beverly out there. I would have rather seen Milos out there, even Austin Rivers. I'm not a massive, massive Lou Williams fan. Shout out to Lou Williams fans. All right, that is going to do it for the recap of all the action from Tuesday. I'm just going to take a quick break as we transition ourselves into talking about DFS action for Wednesday. All right, guys, let's get back into DFS, and we'll start by looking at the perfect DFS lineups on both FanDuel and on DraftKings. On FanDuel, Corey Joseph had 38. Daz Collison had 50, Jamal Crawford 35.5, Evan Turner 31.4. So that Crawford one's a real function of Butler being out. Joseph just got hot. Collison got red hot as well. And the Turner one, he's been pretty consistent. LeBron at 62.9, Bielitsa at 26.2, a little bit of an out-of-the-box one there. As Gordon, 55.4, and Jason Tatum at 44.8. And Boogie, of course, helped a little bit there by Davis going down at 63.1, gave you a total of 407.3, which cost $59,500. On DraftKings, Corey Joseph had 38.25, Fournier 42.5, Tarbo had 29, LeBron had 64.5.
LeBron James.
Boogie had 66.75, Collison 50.75, Aaron Gordon 60.5, and Jamal Crawford had 36.5 for a total of 388.75, and that cost the full $50,000 over on DraftKings. Let's now take a look at these 10 games we have got on Wednesday. The first of these is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Detroit Pistons. The Wolves are favored by 1.5, and the total is 208 points. It's a back-to-back for Minnesota. They don't know if Jimmy Butler is going to play. Not sure of them being a road favorite in a back-to-back without their best player. That looks like a weird line to me, but that's currently what it's at. Well, obviously, we need to check Butler's status. If he is out, then Shabazz Muhammad becomes someone that you can take a look at. And obviously, Jamal Crawford gets a little bit of a boost in that type of a situation. If you want to talk point guards in here, Ish Smith is down at 3,900, but I don't feel really good about him. Jeff Teague at 7,000.
My name is Jeff.
Obviously didn't live up to that today with only 18 points. I think that's probably a little bit high. Maybe I'd look at it in a tournament. It is a decent matchup for him, but I'm not really feeling much there. While Reg Jackson's at 6,900, so a significant price boost for what he started the season at. He's been crushing it, averaging 30 points per game for the season, but not sure I really feel great about Reggie at 6,900. For the shooting guards, Avery Bradley yet to really do much at 5,300, but I do really like him here. You've got a decent matchup against a team that could be without Jim Butler, who are fatigued on the road, on a back-to-back, and at some point Bradley is going to be able to put up some numbers. His highest score so far is just 23 points this season, and I feel pretty good that he can get to 27 or 28 here, so I do like Avery Bradley. Luke Kennard at 3,000, he's got a consistent role, but no. Wigo, 6,900, well, does the extra opportunity come his way again if Butler sits? I don't feel great about using Andrew Wiggins at 6,900, maybe in a tournament. While Jamal, he had that 36er today. He's at $3,600, so a really good salary. You'd look at him as a tournament guy, but at least you're going to have the Butler news before lineups lock. As for Butler, 8,300, I'd be happy to have a look at him as a tournament guy, but I don't feel strongly a guy coming off an illness if he happens to play. It's not a strong situation. While Stan Johnson has been pretty putrid for most of this season, I'll leave him alone. Toby Harris at 6,500. If Butler plays, I think that could impact him quite a bit. Even regardless, you know, Taj Gibson could be guarding Toby, and that might be a problem at that sort of a salary. So I don't feel fantastic about him. While Bielitsa, yeah, at $3,000, he's a tournament play if Jim happens to miss, as is Shabazz, who's also a $3,000. Shabazz would be pretty much a cash play, I think, at $3,000 if Butler is out. At power forward, Taj at 48, no thank you. Tony Tolliver, the tackle box, John Lua, Gorgie Jeng, there is no power forwards I want from this game. But at center, there are two centers that I am interested in. Karl Anthony Towns is at 10,100. If he doesn't get to 50, I know he's getting to 45 pretty much every night. In fact, his lowest score this season is only 42. So, you know, you feel pretty safe with his floor. As for Drummond, 8,500. He had 46 in that last game against Embiid. And I think that, you know, Towns is not a very good defender. I think he can get another 46, 47 here out of Drummond and be pretty happy about your prospects if that is in fact what happens. Over on DraftKings, yeah, Butler at 7,000 is a much better price over there. But of course, there is still that risk and I'm not totally in there. Bradley, I love at 5,000. Drummond and Towns, really solid options too, as is Jeff Teague at 6,200. But I'd look at Teague more as a tournament type play. But I do feel like if Butler is out, I would lean at 6,200 on DraftKings, I'd lean Teague a little bit more in our cash game situations. Reggie Jackson's at 6,000 on DraftKings, and I think that's a decent price, and I think he is playable at that sort of a salary over on DraftKings. The next game we're going to take a look at, We have got the Denver Nuggets. They're traveling to take on the Charlotte Hornets. The Nuggets are favored by 1.5, and the total is 202 points. Cody Zeller is listed as out in the game notes, so it's unlikely he is going to play. And Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is probable coming back from bereavement leave. But we heard Steve Clifford say that when Kidd-Gilchrist does return, that he is going to probably be on a somewhat of a minutes limit just because he hasn't played in so long. So expect him not to get the 30 minutes and Jeremy Lamb to still, you know, play a decent role, and for the Baconator to get some minutes there on the wing as well. Let's talk point guards. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, 4,100. He actually beat that value in the last game. 23 points he had, and at 4,100, I think you should, in a matchup against Charlotte, which is not a good defensive team for point guards. You know, I think that the Blue Arrow has some tournament upside there. He got the minutes up in the last game, 29 minutes, 23 points. There is some value there in Murray, but I don't feel great about him as a cash guy. As for Kemba Walker, 8,100, that's quite a bit to put on Kemba, and there are better options out there. He does get a really tasty matchup against the Blue Arrow, so you could maybe look to him in cash, but he wouldn't be one of the first guys that I would look in. Manny Moutier, 3,900. I don't hate using Moutier as a tournament guy. We've seen him have some decent-ish games at that sub $4,000 price tag. He could get a 23 or 24 pretty comfortably, or have a real big game. That's lower on the expectation charts, but it could happen. Jeremy Lamb at 5,600. I just feel strongly that I'm going to get 25 out of Lamb pretty much every night. And at 5,600, that's really good for cash. Just get me 25 at least, and you have 30, 35 point upside. So I like him there. Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
He's at 5,400, has not been living up to anywhere near that salary, had just 16 in the last game. The minutes are still there, so I don't feel completely off about using Harris, but the numbers haven't been good for him. But the situation is okay for him, the minutes are fine. It just feels like it's a matter of time before he puts in a 30-pointer. So I would be okay there, but obviously there's that element of risk. Malik Monk's highest score this year has been 6.6, so safe to say he hasn't lit the world on fire, while Will Barton's at 58, and while he's putting up some okay numbers, I don't feel that strongly about him, nor the Baconator. At small forward, who we got? Not much. Wilson Chandler at 5,400, not interested whatsoever, nor Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Frank the Tank Kaminsky at 5,100, I really like that. Playing backup center some, playing more minutes than Marvin Williams, is getting 23 to 25 a night at the moment in his current role. 5,100, should be able to beat that pretty comfortably. I'm all in on Frank. Whereas Marv, who's down to 4,200, he's getting nowhere near that. It's not even sniffing that sort of value. You know, he has had a pretty good record against Denver in the past, so maybe you could go and he'd be less than 1% owned in a tournament and really bring some value home. But at 4,200, yeah, maybe. Paulie Millsap at 72. I haven't really seen anything from him in Denver that makes me think that's a lock to happen, so I'm not loving him in that situation either. At center, Nikola Jokic, 8,700. Big game for him in the last one. Dwight Howard could be a problem for Jokic, so I'd only look at him as a tournament guy, and I don't feel strong about him in cash, but I do feel good about Dwight at 7,900, putting up some big numbers lately. I feel like I'm getting at least 36 or 37 out of Dwight most nights. And that's a really, really strong floor. Mason Plumlee's at 3,600, and I don't really see much point in getting him in there. If we have a look at this game over on DraftKings, Frank at 5,000 is really good. Jeremy Lamb at 56 is strong, and I love Dwight Howard at 7,100. Gaz Harris at 5,000, similar to what I mentioned on FanDuel. While Marvin Williams at 3,800, that gives me a little bit more level of intrigue, but clearly just a tournament guy. Jokic at 89, no, not really. Paulie Millsap at 67, more of a tournament guy. Well, the Blue Arrow at 45, that price probably sours me a little bit on him over on DraftKings as opposed to where he currently is situated on FanDuel. Let's move ourselves on to the next game now. We have got the Houston Rockets taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. The Rockets are favored by 3, and the total is 222 points, and that is not the highest total of the game, weirdly enough. We have Trevor Ariza, who has been ruled out. Chris Paul is out. Nene is doubtful as well for Houston, so some changes in the rotation are going to be coming. Luke Marmute is going to be the starter for Houston. We'd expect more minutes for Clint Capela, Tariq Black, Ryan Anderson probably. You'll get some interesting changes in the Rockets rotation here. They also just signed Isaiah Cannon. Demetrius Jackson had been their backup point guard, but with G League training camps opening. The clock starts on the 45 days that those players can be with the team. So Jackson may not play and may go back to the G League to preserve some of that time while Cannon is there and he might absorb the backup point guard minutes. Well, that's what I'm assuming at this point. At point guard, we talk about the point guards. Jared Bayless, 4,100. The minutes are there. The production's not always that high, and I don't know if his upside is really that high. Well, Markel Fultz, the dickery that came out about Markel Fultz today was staggering. The first report came out from his agent saying that Markel Fultz couldn't lift his arm above his shoulder, which is a complete lie, because we've seen him in those free throws. We've seen his arm go above his shoulder. We've seen that. That's a lie. And he said he had to have fluid drained out of it. A couple hours later, actually, he didn't have fluid drained out of it. He actually had fluid injected in the form of cortisone. So I don't know how you can get that wrong. I don't know what the hell is going on. There's always weird medical shit going on in Philadelphia. Agents screwing things up. I don't know what to make of Fultz. I know that he hasn't looked great. He's had a few flashes. 3,700, you could have a look at him in a tournament, but I don't feel fantastic about it because, again, the shot just hasn't been there. He's not attempting threes. He's clearly in some sort of pain, but it's not enough to sit him out of game. So it's just a complete weird situation, which always seems to go with Philadelphia. At shooting guard, JJ Redick's at 4,300. Nothing there makes me go, yeah, that's a cash situation. It's tournament always for Redick. Jim Harden, 11,600. That's a big, big price for Jim. He has exploded against Philadelphia in the past. He has been a little bit muted this season. So if you've got enough cheap guys in your lineup, I'd be okay with spending up on Jim and putting some stock in him, especially on a night where Giannis isn't going. Yeah, Harden could be that guy to take you to the 60, 65 point mark, but that is a little bit of a high salary. Eric Gordon's been killing it. He is now up to 6,700. He's averaging 32 points so far this season, which is below the value you need at that salary. So I'm not feeling all that comfortable about using him at that price tag. At small forward, Tucker's at 4,400. Not a high stat accumulator, but some more minutes should be coming. More of a tournament player, while Bob Covert, 61. I feel like there's just way too much variance in what Covington can do at that sort of salary. If he was at 5,000, I'd say plug him in at cash. At 6,000 plus, it's a GPP type of scenario. At power forward, Marmute at 3,200, likely to get the start. Not likely to put up big numbers, but in 30 minutes, maybe he can get to 18 or 20 points. Tournament play there. Same with Ryan Anderson at 4,100, while Dario Saric at 4,100. I would much rather take Ryan Anderson than Saric at that sort of a salary. Benny Simmons is at 8,800. Now, I know Simo has been crushing it, putting up some really, really big numbers, including 49 points against the Pistons in the last one. I'm just not sure I feel that comfortable at 8,800 for him. So probably a fade to me for Ben. Clint Capella at 7,200. I'm all aboard using Clint with Nene out, with Joel Embiid playing. Yeah, if you put Ryan Anderson and Joel Embiid, it's going to be a murder scene. So Capella's going to have to play pretty big minutes. And for as much as Embiid destroyed Drummond in that last game, Drummond still put up a really handy DFS game. So Capella could do that. He's been really good this season, Clint. As for Embiid at 8,600, I feel better spending that on Embiid than thus would the 88 on Simo. I think 40 points should be able to come Joel's way. So I'm okay with using Embiid at that sort of a salary point. Let's look on DraftKings now to see where the value comes in. It clearly comes in Clint Capella's favor. 6,200 for Clint. Rhino at 4,200 is a tournament guy. Same as Jared Bayless and Luke Marmute at 37. Love Embiid at 8,000. Harden at 11,600, a similar situation, but the scoring on DraftKings, I think, favors Harden quite a bit with the three-point bonuses, the triple-double bonuses as well. I think that he's a shot for a 60-pointer here. So he is a good use of that sort of cash. And Covington, Eric Gordon, still probably priced a little bit too highly. And Simmons at 8,800, I'm not really liking that over on DraftKings either. The next game we take a look at, we've got Cleveland. They are hosting they're being hosted by the Brooklyn Nets. The Cavs are favored by 7. The total is 227 points. One thing we do want to watch is in the post-game interview, LeBron said that he did bang his ankle. He did tweak his ankle. This is a back-to-back. So maybe, just maybe, maybe LeBron sits. We haven't heard any official report, but it is something to pay some attention to. I'm not saying to completely fade him, but it is something to pay attention to, given he did mention that, and it is a back-to-back in Brooklyn. I do think, if I had to lean one way, I do think that he plays, but it is something to pay some attention to. At point guard, D'Angelo Russell has been really putting up good numbers, but his price is pretty high, 7,800. So it does take a lot of the value out of it for D'Angelo. I don't feel strongly about using him. The Cavs point guards, well, it's Jose Calderon, and he didn't even play today, so I don't think we need to worry about him. Caris LeVert at 58, another 34 points for Caris today. I think getting 25 out of him should be almost considered an expectation, so I'm pretty good with him in a really good matchup to use here. While J.R. Smith and Dwayne Wade, the Cavs shooting guards, Kyle Korver, Iman Shumpert, none of those guys really stand out. Shumpert only played 14 minutes today and had 3 points after they shuffled that lineup around. At small forward, LeBron's at 10-7. Yeah, really good about LeBron if he plays. Brooklyn's feisty. They're staying in games. It's high pace. You know, LeBron could, and the Cavs haven't been great. They got smashed by the Magic. They were down big to the Bulls. LeBron's playing in these games. Yeah, 50 points should be coming his way, but there is that element of risk. If LeBron is out, then big Jeff Green at $3,000 would become a really strong play. Now, Green is not that good, but in a starting role, getting at $3,000 would be worth it. They could also go to a situation where Wade rejoins the starting lineup or Korver comes in and they run Jay Crowder at the three, and that would obviously boost Crowder's value there. Kevin Love at 8,300 will also get a significant usage boost if LeBron was out, and that'd be probably the only situation I'd consider using him. The Blue Swimmer at 4,800 had some decent numbers from a DFS point of view, so I can consider using him. I think he's probably a decently strong option, as is Damari Carroll, but Carroll's a full $1,000 more expensive than Alan Crabb, so I'd probably lean towards Crabb more at the $4,800 price point. At power forward, Jay Crowder at 55. I'm not interested, unless LeBron sits, in using Crowder at that sort of salary, while Rondé at 6,200, really hard to rely upon him at that sort of a price. Tristan Thompson at 3,600 as a center. If they start him again against a center challenge team like the Brooklyn Nets, I could see using Thompson. If you want to put some money into other areas, I could definitely get behind that, get maybe a 20 out of him and feel okay, but I don't feel totally strong. And I mentioned Love already. I don't really consider him if LeBron was out. Jarrett Allen and Tim Mozgov. Allen had another 21 points today in 15 minutes. And at 3,600, not the worst tournament option. Probably not the best, but not the worst. He is getting some minutes and he's productive pretty much every time he gets out onto the court. The DraftKings side of things, Crowder's at 49. The same thing holds there. Love LeVert at 51. Rondé at 5,000 is a much better price. I'd look more towards GPPs with Hollis Jefferson, but that's a really good price. While Kevin Love at 76, huge boost if LeBron is out. But I would even consider him in cash, even if LeBron plays at that sort of a salary. James at 10-4 is fine if he is good to go. Well, 7,800 for D'Angelo Russell, probably a bit high. Jeff Green's a $3,000 guy. Damari's a 52, while the Blue Swimmer's 49. In this case on DraftKings, I would prefer Carroll, who's been much more consistent than Crabb, and the price difference makes me lean towards Carroll more than it would towards Crabb, as it did on FanDuel, where there was a full $1,000 difference in the price between those two guys. San Antonio taking on the Miami Heat. We have got the Spurs favored by 3.5 in the total, the equal lowest of the day, 195. So that's not a great stackable game for DFS purposes. Hassan Whiteside's out. He's probably out for the rest of the week. Dion Waiters is questionable with his ankle problem, and Goran Dragic is going to play, but he's dealing with some thigh problems. So we know if Dion is out, then the Duke Wayne Ellington will get some more minutes. Tyler Johnson will get a bump, Justice Winslow will get a bump, and Joshie Richardson will probably play 40 minutes in a situation like that and really, really go through it and put up some big numbers. With Whiteside out, we get Jimmy Johnson and Kelly Olynyk getting a bump there as well. At point guard, now I'm being off Tyler Johnson all season, but at 4,200, if Waiters is out, you smash that. That is a really good value if Dion is out. Now, he may not start. They may move Joshie to the two and put Justice in at the three, but Tyler Johnson and the Duke will be getting all of those backup wing minutes, and that'll enable him to get close to 30 minutes and really put up some numbers. So I like Tyler at 4,200. Pat Mills at 35 has been putrid to start this season, so I'll pass there. The Iron Shoulder, he's playing. He could be limited, but at $7,000, I can see myself using him as a low upside-y type of player. I can see myself using Dragic there. DeJounte Murray, one of the guys been killing it so far this season, averaging 35 points per game. He is now up to 5,900 though, so it might be a little bit hard to expect him to bring that value back in salary, but he has been doing it. So in a tournament setting, you can look at him, but in cash, it's a bit harder. Wade is at 6,200, is a horrific play. I don't like that one bit. Manu at 36, Dan Green at 52 has some definite appeal. He's been crushing at Green, but with the way he gets his stats, it's more variable. So he's more of a tournament guy, while the Duke at 3,400, definitely a GPP play, especially if Waiters happens to be out. We saw what he could do in one quarter the other day, but didn't do much in those other ones. At small forward, Kyle Anderson's at 4,800. The numbers have sort of plateaued a bit with Kawhi out. The price is up. Not really interested. Joshy Richardson at 6,300, though, I am all in on, especially if Waiters is limited and Dragic is limited. Richardson is going to crush at 6,300, I believe, anyway. While Justice Winslow at 48, I would love him in a GPP if Waiters is out. We've seen Winslow have these weird, you know, 15, 6, and 9 with two steal type of games. We've also seen him go 2 of 19 from the field. Exaggeration, but we have seen that. But he can rack up some of those other numbers. And if he gets the push to 30, 31 minutes, if Deion is out, then that really does give you massive scope at 4,200. Rudy Gay at 5,300, just not interested. At power forward, Kelly Olynyk, 5,500. Love what Olynyk's been doing. I feel like that's a pretty safe play at that sort of a salary. While LaMarcus Aldridge has been, he's been crushing it himself, but 8,900 is really, really high. Averaging 45.5 points so far this season, so it's right on where that salary sits. I just don't feel super confident about using him at that sort of a price tag. At small forward, Pau Gasol at 6,000. Well, that's going to be a huge no for me. But we've got to remember that Joffrey Laverne is out of this one for the Spurs, so maybe Pau gets a few extra minutes. I still don't like him at 6,000. It's going to put Davis Bertans into the rotation too, who's been a no-show for the majority of the season. On to DraftKings. Waiters is at 51, so maybe you want to go real contrarian if no one plays him and throw him in there. I don't really like that. I like Dragic at 63, Tyler Johnson at 43, and Joshy Richardson at 54. Pau at 5,000 has some tournament appeal. Olynyk at 56 is strong. Winslow at 4,000 is good. And I didn't talk about him on FanDuel, but James Johnson at 6,100 is a much better option on DraftKings, in my opinion. DeJounte's at 58. And LaMarcus is at 84. I wouldn't feel confident about those guys bringing back that sort of level of value. Although Aldridge is average, or his lowest score is 38 points for DraftKings this season. So at 8,400, you can get 38 points. I think you should feel, yeah, relatively good about that if that is the way that it is going to go down. Let's look at the next game on the Wednesday slate. That is the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are favored by 14.5 points, a huge, huge spread. The Pacers coming off a back-to-back. The total is 218 points. Terrence Ferguson sprained his ankle in warm-ups for the last game. Didn't see the court. Josh Huestis replaced him, but that's not having really any impact on DFS whatsoever. Russ is down to 10,800. I'm all about that. The blowout is somewhat of a risk. I don't think they're going to win by 14.5, though. We saw the Pacers be quite feisty against the Wolves. 10,800 is a very good price for Russell. As for Corey Joseph at 3,900, yeah, clearly killed it today, but he also had a 9-pointer the other day, so I'm not feeling strongly about Corey Joseph as an option. Darren Collison, 6,500, really good today with his 50. I think you should feel okay about him getting at least 28 or 29, but going up against Westbrook, I think it's a little bit of fade time there for Darren, while Ray Felton at 3,100, that's not really doing too much for me, although his lowest score for the season is 15 points. And at 3,100, that's not bad. Maybe if you're looking to squeeze Russ in and Jim in, you're putting Ray in there, get your 15, 16 in his 18 minutes. Maybe that works for you. It's not a terrible solution. Andre Robertson at 3,000 is a terrible solution. Alex Abrines at 3,000 is a tournament upside, maybe, but not really. While Vic Oladipo, if you want to believe in revenge games, 7,800 for Victor. That is a very high price. He has done well previously as a member of the Thunder, as a member of the Magic going up against the Thunder. I like the spot here for Oladipo. I don't love it for cash, but I do really think that he is in your tournament pool of players. At small forward, Bojan is always just a tournament guy. Lance is a nothing sort of guy. And you've got Paul George at 8,700. You know, George has been, his lowest score has been 40. So he's been fairly strong floor. So he's okay for cash given the tighter pricing on FanDuel at the moment. At power forward, TJ Leafs at 3,600. Yeah, not really feeling too much there. Jeremy Grant at 32. Well, I'm like much like Felton at 3,200. Grant's going to get his 18, 19 minutes and put up 15 to 18 points. And at 3,200, I think that that's okay for Jeremy. Domantas Sabonis at 48. feel good about that. I know Steve Adams is a bit of a monster, but Sabonis has been putting up some good numbers, and at 4,800, definite value, while Carmelo Anthony at 76, probably too high. The centers on the board, Al Jefferson, not really, but Steve Adams comes into consideration at 6,900. He dropped 44 in the last game. Can he move Sabonis around a bit? I reckon he's got that chance, but at the increased price, an extra $500 on his head, I think it's more of a tournament-type situation for Steve Adams. Let's move ahead now and have a look at the DraftKings situation for this game. TJ Leaf at 3,000, much more appealing price. Yeah, his ability to get 15 points should be okay. Boyan is a tournament guy. Paulie George at 8,000 is fine. Russell Westbrook at 11,400 is fine. Nowhere near as good as FanDuel, but it's still pretty good value for Russ. 5,800 I like for Steven Adams, while Oladipo at 72 is also decently strong. 7,100 for Carmelo. I think it's a good cash game play. I'm not sure how much upside he's got to go above that, but I think he's a pretty good cash play at that sort of a salary. Let's move on to the next one. We have got the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Dallas Mavericks. The Grizzlies are favored by 5, and the total is 195. This looks like a game you want to stay away from. We don't know if Devin Harris is going to play after missing the last 3 games due to the death of his brother, and Wayne Selden, who has yet to play this season for Memphis. He just continually, they never really update his status until earlier in the day. If he is out, then more minutes go to Tyreek Evans and Dylan Brooks and guys like that, but I don't really think it's having a massive DFS impact, unfortunately. At point guard, Mike Conley at 7,500 has been a little bit disappointing. I'm backing Conley here. It is a lower pace game, but I am backing Conley at 7,500 to be more impressive than what he has been. Dennis Smith at 6,300. I'd rather take Conley, but I can see why you would use Smith, while Yogi Ferrell at 5,300. I actually would feel pretty good about using Yogi Ferrell, even in a cash game at that price. Get my 25, 26, because he's been playing a lot of minutes. 4,100 for Mario Chalmers. If Wayne Selden is out, I'm okay with Chalmers there. Get minutes in the mid-20s and play alongside Conley. At shooting guard, Tyreek's at 46. Haven't really seen anything to make me think that's a good bet. Selden, Wes Matthews, Devin Harris, none of those guys appeal. At small forward, Dylan Brooks, well, he had just 5 points in 21 minutes in the last one. He's still at 3,900, so maybe you can have a look at him as a tournament guy, but that'd be it. The pencil, Harrison Barnes, 6,100, hasn't been doing a huge amount, but his floor's been fairly consistent. A 23-point floor was his lowest score this season. At 6,100, it's not quite where you want to be. The problem is he's yet to crack 30 points this season, and at 6,000+, that's a little bit of a problem, but I don't dislike him for cash. I just don't think he's going to really be able to push through for a high ceiling. Jim Ennis had a big game in the last one. He is at 4,300, so not a massive price adjustment, but it's his only good game for the season. So when we look at Jim, do we think he can go back and have a 37-minute double-double again, or will he play 26 minutes and be pretty pathetic? I'll probably lean towards, maybe not pathetic, maybe that's harsh, but I don't think that he's necessarily going to repeat what he did. Not really that interested in Ennis here. Dirk at 4,600, interesting tournament play. I think 27 or 28 is in play, which gives him a little bit of value without being spectacular. While Jarrell Martin at 4,400, I'm just not interested in Jarrell Martin at all. At center, you've got Nerlens Noel, $5,000 for Nerlens. He played 12 minutes in the last game, put up 22 points, which is almost getting to that value. You can't use him in cash, but you can look at him in a tournament. He's up and down. Will the matchup against Marc Gasol see him out there more? I'm not sure. I don't know what Carlisle's going to do, but when the minutes come, the stats are coming. There's no doubt about that, which makes him an interesting tournament guy. Speaking of Gasol, he is at 8,800, which is obviously very, very high. Feels a little bit too high for me in a low-paced game. I'd probably end up fading Gasol in this situation. The DraftKings plays for this one, I have completely lost them, so I will go back to them in a second. My apologies. We'll load them up. Just give me one sec while I just bring it back up, because I was a little bit quick on the trigger finger to have a look at the values in this game. Don't know why it's taking, so there we go. All right, let's bring up these guys in this game, Memphis and Dallas. I like Dirk at 46 on DraftKings. I like Ferrell at 4,500 a lot. Dennis Smith at 6,000 is strong. The Pencil at 52, again, not much upside, but really good for a cash game play. Conley at 72, I think, is pretty strong as well. Marc Gasol, a full $1,000 cheaper on DraftKings and on FanDuel at 7,800, so I can really see that being a useful situation. And Wario Chalmers, Mario Chalmers, 3,700. There's value in using him over there as well. Got three games to go. Let's move on to the Utah Jazz taking on the Phoenix Suns. The Jazz got beaten today in that game against the Clippers. A little bit of an easier matchup against the now surging Phoenix Suns. We don't know if Rocket Rodney Hood is going to play. He missed today's game with a calf strain. If he is out, then Donovan Mitchell gets a bump. Tabo gets a bump. And I also imagine that Jingle & Joe will be limited once again. Maybe not to the 18-minute extent that he was in today's action, but limited nonetheless due to his gastric distress. Point guards, Mike James, 4,300. In on that, I think he starts again. I think he can put up numbers to exceed that price pretty comfortably. Tyler Ulis at 3,500. That's really appealing as well. And I could consider using either of those guys. I'd lean James a bit more. But I can see, look, Ulis had 20 points in 21 minutes in that game against the Kings. And I could see him at 3,500 being able to achieve that value. Ravishing Rick Rubio, he's going to go from playing against Pat Beverly to playing against Ulis and James, which really works in his favor. I think that he is a real bounce back candidate here and could easily drop 40. So I'm in favor of looking at Rick Rubio. At shooting guard, Rocket at 4,700. Rocket Rodney Hood. Tournament, maybe. Don't feel good about it. Devin Booker at 7,300. Not against his defense, sorry, Devin. While Don Mitchell at 4,100, I'd put him in a tournament if Hood happens to be out. At small forward, you've got Josh Jackson at 4,600. You've got TJ Warren at 51. They split the minutes evenly in the last game. If I'd throw at anyone, it'd be Jackson in a tournament because he's cheaper, but I don't love either of those guys, nor do I love Ingles at 5,000 or Tabo at 37. Unless Rocket's out, then Cephalosha at 3,700 would become tournament worthy. At power forward, Marquise Chris at 4,300. I love that. I don't like Chris, but I love that price. I love the spot. He had 35 in 29 minutes against the Kings. The matchup's not as easy, clearly, but I think he can pretty comfortably break through that 4,300 mark. Derek Favors at 56 is not appealing in the slightest. At center, Tyson Chandler at 43. The Rudy Gobert factor is a real one, but I think that Chandler can actually break through that value at 4,300. We saw him get an inordinate amount of minutes in the last game. Well, Gobert at 8,500. He should be able to feast on the Suns. I'm okay with using him. He has been a little bit disappointing at times, but I feel like he can get 35 pretty comfortably, and you have 50 point upside here against Phoenix is in play. Alex Len, just a tournament situation, unless Jay Triano decides to change things up, which we have no word that he is going to do at this point. In terms of DraftKings, Chris at 41 I like, Chandler I like at 4,000, Mike James at 44, Gobert at 75, and Ravishing at 6,800. Devin Booker at 69 is pretty decent, but I still think it's more of a tournament play with this Jazz defense, while Rocket Rodney Hood is not someone I'm all that interested in. I would take a punt on Joshie Jackson at 41 and Don Mitchell at 38 if the Rocket one happens to be out. We've got another two more games left. Toronto and Golden State. Going to be a really interesting game to watch this one, I believe. We know that Jonas Valanciunas is doubtful, but the Raptors have got a couple of other injuries to pay attention to. DeMar DeRozan is questionable with a thigh bruise, and the starter in place of Jonas Valanciunas, Bebe Noguera, is questionable with an ankle. Now, if both Valanciunas and Noguera are out, Jakob Poeltl is going to have to play a lot. Serge Ibaka is going to have to see his minutes bumped from the 25 he's been playing a night. And you're going to see more of the wing guys, OG Anunoby, Norm Powell, CJ Miles, DeLon Wright, as the Raptors go smaller. And Pascal Siakam will play some more minutes. Against the Warriors, teams will go smaller anyway, but they could be forced into that, the Raptors. The Raptors here in this one, that is a situation that could happen for them. At point guard, Kyle Lowry has been disappointing. At 7,100, I'm all in on throwing him into a tournament. Yeah, going against the field, I think, is a strong option here. And DeLon at 4,500, because if DeMar DeRozan is out or if Bebe is out, I think DeLon's going to have to get more minutes, and I think he can exceed 25 points. So I do like using DeLon right there. Steph's at 9,400. I feel pretty good about Steph getting 45 points. I think he is a strong use of your money if you don't want to go with Russ or Jim. I think Steph is pretty strong there. Fred VanVleet, Shawnee Livingston, not much there to see either. As for DeRozan, 8,300. I think that DeRozan gets 40 points if he plays, but of course it's a late game, so we don't know if he's going to be in. That makes him hard to use. If he is out, Norm Powell would really like to get a bump there also. Clay's at 7,100. I'm in on Clay in a tournament only, not feeling strongly about him as a cash play, whereas Powell is only if we hear DeRozan ruled out early. 4,500 for Norm. I think that he would have a fair chance of smashing that sort of value. Pat McCora, Uncle P. You could use Young, I think, as a tournament guy, but that's it. At small forward, Durant at 10-1. Strong, really good floor, decent upside, cash, tournaments, really like that. CJ Miles at 35, a significant boost if DeMar happens to be out, while Iguodala is not something that I'm really caring about too much. The power forwards, Draymond's at 7,800. I feel like that's really good for a cash play. I'm not sure how high his upside is, but I feel pretty good about Draymond at 7,800, while Serge Ibaka at 59. If Bebe is out in a tournament, but shit, he's been poor this year, Serge, and I reckon he might force it a bit against the Warriors, and I don't feel great about him. Dave West, Pascal Siakam, Jordan Bell, no. At center, Zaza's at 3,300. You know, Zaza occasionally has a weird game, so I think the feeling you might get a 20-pointer out of Zaza here, and at 3,300, that could clearly work, so I'd be okay there. As for Poeltl at 4,900, he had 34 in the last game against the Spurs. The Warriors are a concern, but if Bebe and Jonas are both out, I think he's got a real chance of beating that $4,900 value, does Jakob Poeltl. On to DraftKings, Draymond at 72, I like that. DeLon at 39, Durant at 95, Clay at 66, and Steph at 87, all really strong options. Serge is down to 5,400, so I feel pretty good about using him at that price. DeRozan at 82, breaks the value if he plays, but we just don't know, while Lowry at 77, not as big on Lowry on DraftKings as what I am on FanDuel. Let's head on to the last game of the night now. That is the Washington Wizards against the Los Angeles Lakers. Apparently some beef created by LaVar Ball. Who's shocked, really, about anything that dickhead says? The Wizards are favored by 6, and the total is 230.5, the highest over-under of the night. Jason Smith is likely to play, but he won't start, so Kelly Oubre will remain in the starting lineup. Let's look at the point guards. Johnny Wall at 10,200. Love Wall here. I think there's 60-point upside. I would take Wall over Harden and over Westbrook on the... Oh, maybe not over... No, I probably would over Westbrook. I think there's a big, big John Wall game coming here. As for Lonzo at 7,400, I think the Wall defense can be a real problem. Lonzo's been putting up decent numbers, but that price makes him probably just a little bit too high, or it's a little bit too highly priced for me. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a good opening night. He's at 5,500. We cannot trust Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at all. He is a streaky guy, so maybe you go, well, this is the second game, it's the streak continues, all that. Tournament's fine. Cash, I'm just not feeling it. Whereas Bradley Beal at $8,000, a decently high floor. His lowest game this season was last game where he had 30. I feel okay about using Brad Beal. Jordy Clarkson, nice games recently, but I don't believe that the usage or the shooting will continue for Clarko, so I'm not interested in him. At small forward, Brandon Ingram's at 5,100. Our projections really like him here. I don't like him as a player. As a GPP guy, I could see you getting behind that. While Kelly Oubre at 54, there's some decent numbers from Oubre in the last couple of games starting. I think that Oubre is worth a cash shot. My words are getting all twisted. Power forward, Julius Randle, 4,400. I'm going to pass on that. Jason Smith, Kyle Kuzma. Yeah, Kuzma maybe at 5,500, but I don't feel super about that. At center, I love Brook Lopez at 7,100. I also think Gortat at 6,100 is a pretty, pretty decent option. So some good center plays in this one. Over on DraftKings, Lopez at 6,000 is fantastic. Oubre at 42 is fantastic. And I like Kuzma at 47 and Kentavious at 47 also. 5,500 for Gortat. Otto Porter at 59 has been putting up some really strong numbers, and I think he can continue it at 5,900. That's some value, but he's on FanDuel. He's at 7,500, which just feels too high. Johnny Wall at 10,200, not as appealing as FanDuel, but still something there, while 7,000 for Lonzo makes him a little bit better, but I would only look at Lonzo Ball in a tournament. All right, let's have a look at the other sites now. On Yahoo, the guys I like, there's some significant value for Mike James, Tyson Chandler, and Steve Adams, Kyle Kuzma, Caris LeVert, Kelly Olynyk. All those guys, strong cash players, I think, on Yahoo. Jeremy Lamb, a good cash play. I like DeLon, Marmute, and Kyle Anderson in tournaments. Yogi Ferrell as a cash. Damari Carroll as a cash. And the Blue Arrow at $11, which is just above minimum. Yeah, decent tournament play there. DeJounte Murray is a great play, I believe, over on Yahoo, as is Kelly Oubre. And Clint Capella and Jakob Poeltl. Well, Joshy Richardson, Marquise Chris, I think they're a little bit higher priced over on Yahoo, so maybe more tournament-type options. I like Embiid a lot over on Yahoo, and Marcus Sol. Those guys stand out as some of the higher-priced players you want to take a look at. On Moneyball, there's still a lot of value, not as much as we've seen on other days. Mike James, Marquise Chris, Caris LeVert, love all those guys. For a tournament, Tyson Chandler, Tyler Ulis, Dirk, Kuzma, Marmute, and Anderson all have some value. Jeremy Lamb, I think, is strong on Moneyball, as is Damari Carroll, Dwight Howard, Andre Drummond, Joel Embiid, Draymond Green, and the Blue Swimmer. D'Angelo Russell also at a nice price, whereas Kevin Love and Avery Bradley probably look more at tournaments, same as Tyler Johnson over on Moneyball. All right, that wraps it up for us here. I have written an article over on Fantrax, which should be up by the time you listen to this. So go check out Fantrax.com. You know it's the best place to host your fantasy leagues. But there's an article I've written up there about the biggest surprises to start the season. That'll be up on the site. Matt's written his waiver wire article over on Basketball Monster as well. Check out that. And of course, check out our sponsors, Draft.com, and use that promo code LOFANTASY to get yourself a free entry into a cash game today. And check out the Locked On contest in the lobby when you use that promo code to go up against other listeners of the podcast and hosts of all of the Locked On podcasts across the NBA network. Subscribe to this podcast, whether it is on YouTube or on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And if you leave a review, it would be awesome. Give it a thumbs up on YouTube. Leave me a comment. I will do my best to get back to as many comments as I can. I get comments and Twitters and emails and Facebooks and all that crap all day long, so I do apologize if I don't get to your question or comment. I do read them all, I can assure you, but I cannot physically respond to all of them, so I do apologize if I can't get to yours. But if you can give it a thumbs up and a subscription, that would be awesome. All right, guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Damari Carroll.